Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I warn you, we're going to talk about something that's hard to talk about. But if we don't talk about, we can't break through the ceiling and run a better business. Tribe, today the main message, legal is a way of life, right? How do we manage this? There are new and better ways to resolve the most common construction disputes other than litigation, right? And let's look at other ways to do that. And how this is going to benefit you is that I know it firsthand. I raise my hand, tribe. Nobody wins when you get the attorneys going at it, right? How do you deal with this in the best way? Real justice in disputes at much lower costs than legal expenses. And figure out how we don't get distracted and lost time. And most importantly, lost peace of mind, right? And so my perspective is that the American construction is lawsuit crazy, right? And this is a potential path to change that. All legal cases end in victory for the lawyers, right? And they get paid a bunch. So how can we keep more money in the contractor's pocket? You, contractors and affiliates, the master facilitators that make Art of Construction work and figure out these legal disputes. So let's dial in a cure for the common lawsuit. And to do that, we get to have Rob Christopher, who is the creator of Neutral Driven Construction Resolution and his platform called Just Resolve. And he's got all kinds of great talking tracks and a life of having this stuff in his back pocket for us to learn and grow together. So let's go in and get to know Rob and have as much fun as possible. Lock and load, tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
Thanks, Devin. My favorite beverage. There are so many. I love fresh peach and berry milkshakes, but I also
peach
love
and berry
great
milkshakes.
Red wine.
All right.
Yeah. It's but I also wine. Love a great red wine like a Camus Cabernet Sauvignon. So that's a tough question for me. But I was raised on these fresh berry milkshakes in the orchards of California, and they were wonderful.
Beautiful. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
I'd have to say Bora Bora in Tahiti with my family. The combination of beauty, beaches, and diving with the sharks was just to die for.
Oh, we got to hear the story of the sharks. Any craziness?
There was a little craziness because the lead diver was a young fellow who forgot to bring his shark mitt that day. And one of the sharks accidentally cut his wrist with one of their teeth as they were going for the chum that the diver had brought out. And all the sharks started swimming around kind of crazy because there was blood in the water, and all of the divers, we just, including my family, we all went down to the bottom of this like 50 foot depth and waited for things to calm down.
They're like, this is not the normal tourist thing. What's going on here? Right.
Right. This was supposed to be the normal tourist thing. My kids were in their early teens, and we all came away with the greatest memories and stories.
Awesome. Cool stuff. Well, what do you like to do outside of the construction silos we're passionately trying to break down that we call the art of construction?
For me, it's a toss-up between tennis on the one hand, it keeps me moving, and I love community theater musicals. I'm a ham, and I love acting and singing in the amateur theater.
Awesome. Well, we got to know a little bit about Rob. What is your story that led you to founding Just Resolve?
Over my legal career, as I was a big law firm litigator for 35 years, but I was also a farmer's son before that. And so I'm a business person as well. And I was frustrated with the absurdly expensive justice system that I worked in, especially in common disputes, and the legal extortion, the discarded or foregone claims, and the growing justice gap that enabled. I know that's a mouthful, but it was all about waste. And the waste was not just in legal fees. It was also in lost productive time and relationships and reputations and people's peace of mind. So I talked with several businesses I was involved with, and I talked with a lot of lawyers. And I found that I was far from alone. So I decided I had to do something about it.
Well, that is intriguing. We're definitely going to unpack that. And I want to start by saying, talk to us about your term, or what is the definition and the description when you talk about what is neutral driven resolution?
Neutral driven resolution is a way or method of resolving legal disputes in which the parties allow a neutral judge that they have selected to proactively, and that's the key word, proactively investigate, analyze, and decide the dispute instead of letting competing attorney firms do it, which makes real justice affordable and delivers better net outcomes for all parties, even the losers, and huge savings in legal fees, time, and peace of mind compared to litigation.
I absolutely love that. And that's why we were so excited to have and unpack this on today's conversation, is that we're always talking about managing the two things you don't have enough of, and that's time and money, right? And the time is that first thing. The longer I go through life and get to have mentors like you, Rob, that who have spent 35 years in a law firm, but you grew up as a farmer's son. So talk, definitely two different dichotomies that you have lived. What have you noticed over your career as a lawyer that led you to developing neutral driven resolution, or that mouthful we're just going to call NDR going forward?
I live in the world of $64,000 words too, it seems, and get hung up myself. What I noticed was from a very young age, I think it was probably my second year as a lawyer in a big downtown Los Angeles law firm, that in almost every case that wasn't a high stakes, bet the company, you know, millions of dollars at stake kind of situation, it was virtually impossible for me to deliver justice to my client where the client didn't have to spend as much as or more than whatever was financially at stake to get that justice. And the sense of disproportion about that bothered me. And it didn't just happen once or twice. It happened virtually every time I had a case in which the stakes were, let's say, limited in some way, so that if you went through all of the litigation process as a lawyer, you're going to spend more of your client's money than you could possibly win or save for all your time and effort. And that didn't make sense to me. The farmer's kid in me just cried out that it was just so much waste and that there's got to be a better way. So it was around 2004 when I had a case in which that happened yet again. It was about a $50,000 case. We ended up spending more than that just to get to the point where the parties finally cried surrender and were willing to mediate a settlement. And both sides lost. Only we lawyers won. And that was so often the case. And so I sat down with a bunch of business CEOs locally and a lot of lawyers, too, that I asked about it and started studying what might be a solution to that challenge.
Awesome. Well, this podcast is for contractors and its affiliates. So I want to challenge you a little bit, Rob, to talk about construction. And it's messy, and it's one of the things I raise my hand that keeps me up at night, right? Trying to figure out what should I do proactively, as you mentioned, to not have potential problems. So how would NDR work on a legal dispute on a construction project? And who is the neutral party and how are they found?
NDR would work in two ways in a construction project. One, if the parties have agreed in advance at the outset of the project in their contract, then in the event of a dispute, it would be resolved by this neutral-driven process instead of litigation or arbitration, for example. Then the parties are bound to use that method. And two great things happen when you put that kind of language in your contract at the front end. First, it kind of defangs anybody who's insane or anybody who is an attorney, let's say, out for a big fee or someone else who's not motivated by simply doing the best they can to get this thing resolved efficiently and justly, because they're forced into a process where they can't use intimidation, the threat of a lawsuit, and the costs of a lawsuit to get their way. And the second thing it does is, if, in fact, the parties nevertheless realize they have a real and legitimate dispute, they've got to get it resolved, it turns the process over to a neutral they can both agree on, because at some point they're going to have a judge or a neutral anyway, But if they do that at the front end and let the neutral drive the process, then the parties save tremendously because the process can be done in a fraction of the time at a fraction of the legal cost and with a lot more peace of mind. In fact, even the potential to save or salvage a reputation that is on the rocks or threatened, because there's a certain dignity to each side saying, you know what? I'd like to win. I think I should win, but I'm willing to let the chips fall where they may if the process is fair and economic. So that's the first overall way is to use the language in a contract. The second way, if you don't have that language in a contract, is for one of the parties in a dispute to propose to the other using this process, this neutral driven resolution process, instead of whatever other process might be necessary to get to the bottom of what happened and what law applies to that. Just by making that offer to the other side, good things can happen. Because first, the other side realizes, well, maybe this guy's not such an asshole after all. Maybe he has a point. Maybe he's right. And it makes the other side rethink where they're coming from when they hear from the first side that, hey, I'm willing to let the chips fall where they may, so long as we do this thing efficiently and quickly. So if the other side accepts, you now have an efficient, fast process for getting it done. If the other side declines, you know something about the other side and what their agenda really is. And that's going to inform your next set of decisions about how you handle that. You may still have to use or rely on a good lawyer to get you through it. But at least now you know you had to do it, and your lawyer is fully armed for what is going to happen.
I absolutely love that, right? And what I heard from you is like, how do we best begin with the end in mind? And the contract language is something that really excites me. That, and you know, one of my challenges is these contracts that, well, no one reads them until there's a problem. But this is where you're actually pointing out how the rules of the game are going to work and sets up dignity on both sides, and it helps you fix the money pimps that are just going after the money and trying to figure that out to begin with the end in mind. And the other part that I heard from you, it really helps you live what we call the no asshole rule, right? So you're setting this up to say life's too short to deal with assholes, right? And maybe you're being the asshole and somebody's setting this up to help you fix that, right? And that's kind of the language that I would use when it comes to using NDR to set proactively to say, here's the rules of the game. Construction messy, we're going to have issues. Here's how we're going to solve it if it gets to a point where you and I can't just work it out together.
Yeah, exactly right, Devin. And, you know, a lot of disputes come about when you've got well-intentioned people, you know, running both companies or managing both sides of a project, but somebody makes a mistake. And when somebody makes a mistake...
No, nobody ever makes mistakes in construction. You're never, you can control everything. There's never anything that hits you sideways.
Right. And just nobody ever tries to cover up their mistake, right? To save their job.
Yeah. I have to tell a story. We're doing all these virtual experiences where we're working with our window and door company and we're offering it for free and doing all this work. I could not believe how many contractors said, no, I don't want that on the front end because I got to cover up all the walls before people see them. I'm like, well, I guess we should maybe stop working with you if that's your answer, that you need to cover it up instead of actually being an open book and proactively saying down the line, if there's an issue, we can all solve it together. That's the parallel, I think, what you're saying of like open book.
Yeah, it's a great way of testing the kind of partner you're engaging with.
So I'm curious to kind of put the money where our mouths are here, Rob. How much money do you think you could potentially be saved by using NDR instead of going through the court system?
In any given case, you're going to save at least 80 cents on the dollar of legal expense. In other words, 80% of what you would otherwise spend for attorneys is saved just because of the improved efficiency of the process. And that doesn't even count the value of your distracted time or lost time that's going to be saved because it's going to be so much faster. It doesn't account for the relative peace of mind you're going to enjoy and the potential benefits at the other end of salvaging your reputation if you made a mistake or salvaging a relationship.
100%. And that's a crazy number when you think about it, right? And figuring out not even mentioning the part that I think is, you know, I raise my hand, like when you're dealing with these type of things, it's just such an emotional drain, and it's kind of like a triple whammy, right? Cause you're dealing with these problems instead of the next solution. And that's why I love the word proactive. We can't say enough of figuring out how to begin with the end in the mind. What do you think is the construction industry, especially in the US, when I talk with my global partners around here, it's like, why is America so Sue happy? And are there some historical reasons, Rob, from your perspective of why it's this way?
Yes, I've given a lot of thought to that. I address it at some length in my book that I know we'll talk about in a few minutes. But the short answer to your question is, I think, three things. First, as a culture, we love our rights. We love our freedoms, our rights, our due process, to the detriment of other values. Sometimes we don't think as much as we should about lost and distracted time or our peace of mind or stress levels and the like. We are brainwashed by media to romanticize the process of a legal combat and a legal duel in a courtroom or the like. So that's number one. I think the second factor is that lawyers, unfortunately, we love our role as your gatekeepers to all things legal and as your protector and as your problem solver. And along with that, we love our fees. And in the United States, it's a big factor. Third, both we as clients and our lawyers routinely underestimate the costs and risks to our clients of litigation. So you add those three things together, it makes us lawsuit happy. I think it's particularly challenging in the case of the construction industry, where profit margins are so thin and time is of the essence. Because, you know, a small dispute comes up with a subcontractor, and the next thing you know, you've got domino delays down the line, which add tremendously to the cost and lost profits of a given project.
Great explanation. So how does this relate to mediation and arbitration?
Oh, that's a great question, Devin, because I am always asked that question. In the book, I even wrote a little special paragraph saying I'm always asked this question. So NDR, or neutral driven resolution, is very similar to both mediation and arbitration. It takes the best from both of those methods and applies it in a different way, because unlike both mediation and arbitration, you are having the neutral drive the process. In both arbitration and mediation, that's not the case. The lawyers are driving the process. That means you have people whose primary motivation is to gain the greatest advantage they can for their client, as opposed to their primary motivation being to get to the truth of the matter. The latter is much faster and more efficient to get to than when you are competing with somebody, trying to outmaneuver them, trying to out-advocate them, and all of the costs that go with that. So mediation, of course, is a facilitated negotiation. My process allows for a facilitated negotiation during the process in case that will still work, but then doesn't stop there. And so it's going to succeed, whereas mediation, as you probably know, often fails because there's something not known at that point in time, or somebody is playing the game, or is playing poker, whatever the reasons might be that would delay a resolution. And then arbitration is like mini-me litigation. It's like going to court, only the rules are relaxed slightly, but you still have all this discovery. You still have depositions of the parties, which means your managers, your line people all have to lose time from work to sit down at some lawyer's initiative and listen to and answer at least 80% ridiculous questions in order to try to get at the truth of what happened. And unfortunately, it's the way it works. But we can get away from that if we have a neutral driving the entire process. And the neutral is simply interviewing people demanding the records that need to be looked at, arranging for any inspections that are needed, and getting the job done.
I absolutely love that. And thank you for giving that explanation, because you can get really confused on where you can get caught and where you can just resolve it, right? So I'm curious, what are some important steps you want to see taken to see NDR used more in the art of construction?
I think the two most important steps that occur to me is, one, I would like more lawyers to be aware of this as a useful tool for use in the right situations, either in negotiation or perhaps more regularly as inserted in the contract language to help control the potential risks and costs of litigation. I think that's one of the most valuable things we can do. Secondly, I would like to see the American Institute of Architects, the Association of General Counsel, and some of the other organizations that control the contract forms used in our industry to include NDR as one of the optional steps for resolving disputes in their forms, because very few construction companies feel comfortable enough and bold enough, even with lawyers' advice, to do anything other than check one of the boxes on those forms that are already existing. But it could be easily written into those forms. It's just that that requires a lawyer to step up and actually do it. If we can get the organizations to adopt this as a tool for use, or at least for consideration, I think a lot of companies would start choosing it.
100%. So aside from all the high costs we've been discussing, what are some of the big mistakes you see in the way of construction project legal disputes currently?
The biggest mistakes I see in the way these disputes go in big contracts, too often we see dispute resolution boards appointed. A dispute resolution board can be used to, you know, track and attempt to intercept disputes before they blow up into something else. But the problem with DRBs is that they involve an extra chunk of overhead added to the cost of a project from the very beginning. And I don't think it's practical. And I don't think you can anticipate all the kinds of expertise you would need in the event a specific dispute arises. So I don't think it's the right way to go. I think NDR makes more sense, because if you know that there is a problem in a certain area, we can quickly, with the help of the parties, identify the right kind of expertise to address that and resolve it. So I don't think the DRBs are the right way to go. That's probably the biggest one.
Awesome. Well, thanks for that explanation. I want to take a moment and put you on the platform to tell the Art of Construction tribe, and we'll put links in the show notes. Tell us more about your book. Where can people find it, and how do they get in contact with you if they want to learn more about what's going on?
Well, thanks. The name of the book is Just Right: How Neutral-Driven Resolution Can Close the Gap in American Civil Justice. Once again, that's a lawyer using a lot of words. If you think of it as Just Right, written by Robert Christopher, you can find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and also on my website at www.justresolve.com, and also www.justrightbook.com. The book is really the story of the creation of neutral-driven resolution. Its inspiration, all the way back from my early childhood, what led to it, although fortunately I don't spend too much time dwelling on that, to the how it works, the kinds of language that make sense in contracts, the use of it in negotiations, the challenges that it faces in our culture, and given the fact that it's something very new and different that doesn't fall within current legal training. So it's going to take a while before the legal profession is willing to accept and adopt it, just like it took many years before arbitration or mediation were generally accepted. And it closes with, you know, how you can use it and where you can find it. So it really takes you from A to Z of the journey that I've been on and why this makes so much sense for us all.
Well, Rob, I commend you. Thanks for taking the time of your, you know, legacy of working and figuring out there's got to be a better way, right? And building that playbook on how NDR can be a solution for. That's why we're so excited to have you on the podcast, because it's just one of those things that very few people know until they have to live it. And then you live it and every story is so different, right? Because it's based on emotions and the attorneys figuring out how they do that, right? So it's just about getting a playbook that works. I'm really curious when we always ask this question, and I'm curious your take, as you know, we're very big on technology to handshakes, and technology doesn't solve everything, right? But what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
Well, as you just hinted, technology doesn't solve disputes. People do. But what technology is doing in construction is showing how valuable it can be and why innovation and change is necessary. We just have to realize that it's not enough to change technology, to innovate new technologies. It's also necessary to innovate the human elements in how we address disputes and the models that we use and the rules that we play by.
Love it. So to close out, Rob, what is that one thing you want to leave our contractors and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Put NDR in your contracts. If you got to ask your lawyer, what about this? Then do it. And I'm there to speak with them, to speak with your clients, speak with anybody in the industry about why this makes so much sense. I appreciate the chance to tell that story.
Awesome. Great job, Rob. Thanks for shedding light on NDR and what we can do to add it as a very important quiver to proactively run our business.
Thank you for the chance to share what I've put together, and thank you for your continuing work with this podcast. It's a great thing, and because it's all about improving the industry and how we deal with each other.
Awesome. Appreciate you saying that and being a master facilitator for the tribe. Tribe, I raise my hand and say, if you asked Devin, what is NDR? I'd say, I don't know. I'd Google it. And then I'd find out what it means. Then I would go to who I trust is my attorney, Tom Walsh, all the way back to episode 18, who is still a great friend and a partner. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to use this podcast, and I hope you do the same, is I'm going to introduce Tom to Rob and say, Tom, is this something we should look at to better work on our business and in the business? And since I don't know what NDR is, now I'm going to go read the book. Now, I tell you all this stuff is to say, as lifelong learners, construction is messy and hard. But if as lifelong learners, we don't take the time to go work on the business and move the business forward to better begin with the end in mind, either you're growing or dying. And Tribe, we're here to grow, right? And Rob gave us a lot of great stuff on the pre-interview about how he is a lifelong learner, went out and has been a fan of the art of construction. And I loved where he said, when we're so happy, he said, why is that? And he's like, well, because we love our rights. We love our freedom. We are proud warriors, right? Well, maybe we got to just look at and to say conflict resolution, it's not if, it's when. So that's where you have to look at this and just say, how do we best have a platform to figure that out? And we were jawing back and forth before the podcast, and we were talking about how technology, and he's kind of like, well, and it was like, it's us, Rob. It's you and I talking about this to then putting it out there. And tech doesn't solve problems. People do. But what I can tell you, Tribe, is that construction tech holds us accountable. So go figure out NDR and how you move it forward so that you can have your Tom and your Rob have your back, but have NDR as a platform to go out there and crush it and grow your business. Thanks, Tribe.